Good morning, everyone. Today is June 6th. It is 10:02 a.m. There is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving right along to item number three is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for June 6, 2023. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding today's agenda?
No questions or comments, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, thank you. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions or comments regarding today's agenda?
I don't, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? As a reminder for the folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature. You can also use the chat feature. And for those calling in, you can use star six to unmute yourself. Not seeing any public comment at this time. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number four, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for the April 4th, 2023 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about those minutes?
None, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding the minutes for the April 4th meeting? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our April 4th, 2023 meeting as presented.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On item number five, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for the April 18th, 2023 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the April 18th set of minutes? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our April 18th, 2023 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six, this is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
None, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven, this is the first of two public comment periods. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not already on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. Is there any public comment today? Please come on up to the podium, state your name for the record.
My name is Karen Geisen, and I'm the president of the 109 Comstock Ladies. I wanted to follow up on the presentation I made April 18th. We are in full swing. You will see this poster up around town and right down here in the courthouse. We are selling tickets for our major fundraiser. This year, the barbecue, the cowboy barbecue right here at the Freight House, thanks to Jay. So I wanted to let you know that the tickets are available. We're selling only 165. We're about at 100 now. You can go on Eventbrite and get your tickets. The other thing I wanted to just reemphasize, we are selling raffle tickets for this beautiful Mercedes that was donated to us by one of our members and a 601 member. And those raffle tickets will be on sale through November 11th and pulling the winner November 12th. So you can get raffle tickets from any one of the 109 and actually the 601 are selling as well. You'll find me around town. You'll see me sometimes in the bucket. We have a lady there that regularly sells. So I just like to encourage everyone here to support us and the children of the Comstock. Thank you.
Wonderful. For your time. Before you go, how much are the tickets to the event and how much are raffle tickets?
The tickets to the event are $65 a person. Now, that includes the catering by Carson City Barbecue. It includes entertainment, the Lady and the Tramps, 50-50 raffle, as well as many silent auction items that this community has supported by giving to us. And the raffle tickets for the Mercedes are $10. And we hope to raise $25,000 or more. And we're doing pretty well already. We started 3 weeks ago and we're at about 3,000. So I think that's pretty good.
Wonderful.
So, yeah. Thank you so much for your support. Appreciate
it. And I'm sorry, what's the date on the barbecue?
July 1st. That 4th of July weekend, Saturday of July 1st.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Karen.
All right. Is there any other public comment today? Not seeing any public comment, we're going to move on to item number 8, which is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to kick things off with the Sheriff's Office. Only Sheriff.
Good morning. Sheriff Cullen for the record. Just a couple of things. We recently had our two events for child safety seat checkpoints, one in Lockwood and one here in Virginia City. I'd consider them a success. I wanted to thank the Story County Fire Department, the Ron Wood Family Resource Center, REMSA Health, and the Community Chest for coming out and helping with the events. We were able to give out 5 car seats to people that need them in the community. Also, as you know, we've been doing the Joining Forces Traffic Safety Grant with the state, paying our officers overtime through the grant to come out and promote traffic safety. Currently, June 2nd through June 24th is our pedestrian safety event. We're going to be working with the surrounding jurisdictions to contact drivers and pedestrians and just remind them of the for safe habits and making roadways safer when it comes to pedestrians and use of the roadways. And that's all I have.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Sheriff?
No, thank you, Sheriff.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Wonderful. Great. Appreciate the update. Up next, we have our Chief of the Fire Protection District. Morning, Chief.
Morning. Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcarp for the record. Just in the interest of time, I'll make this brief. We were in contact with the state. They reached out to us about some possible funding to increase our fuels reduction in the Highlands. It could be up to $2.5 million with pretty much no strings attached as long as we're doing the work out there. So I'll keep you updated as far as how that process goes. In addition, we held a town hall meeting, Mark Twain, last night. We had pretty good attendance. Just the initial talk and about our services we provide and where we want to go in the future, and just opened up some good dialect with our citizens down there. And lastly, we finished our recruitment process for our assistant fire chief, and we have awarded that position to Jim Morgan. So he will be the new Story County Fire Protection District assistant chief starting July 3rd. And I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the chief?
No questions. Thank you, Chief.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Second, the congratulations to Mr. Morgan. Thank you. All right. Moving right along to Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator, in for Director Wiersbicki. Director Wiersbicki sent me following items to report to the board. There's ongoing road repairs on Loustown. They are preparing to repave a damaged ramp at the football field, which occurred from a water leak. They're also preparing to repave a section of Duck Hill Road from the raw water break from a few months ago. The sinkhole at the baseball diamond has been repaired per the engineer's specifications. We did end up digging 11 feet by 11 feet square and about 5 feet down to reach solid native soil below. It was backfilled using GeoGrid and 1-foot lifts and a very substantial design there, but that is now complete. Ongoing drainage repairs going on down 6 Mile. The central tunnel is flowing quite nicely at the intersection of D and Mill. That's where you see that sort of wet pavement out of nowhere, D and Mill there. Apparently there is a tunnel there that's full of water and is now currently discharging. We're working with emergency management and FEMA to try and secure funding for some of the storm damages. We're working on the report from the GPR, we are waiting on the report from the GPR, the ground penetrating radar study around the pool deck to determine what kind of issues we're going to have there and perhaps get some idea of the scope of remediation efforts at the pool. At the next commission meeting, we will be seeking the approval of the board to have Loomis and Associates put together a scope and design for permanent repairs on Taylor Street. And that's all I have for the Public Works report.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding the Public Works report?
Thank you, Mike. No questions.
Vice Chairman?
Oh, I just wanted to pass along the gratitude of the community softball league community. I know there was much consternation over whether their season would start on time. So appreciate the fast work on the repair there.
Great. I don't have any questions, Mike. We're going to move on to Operations Project Coordinator, Mike Northen.
All right. Mike Northen, Operations and Projects Coordinator. Just a few items to update the board on today. The Sheriff's Substation in Lockwood, final contract documents are being signed this week. Factory production of the new unit will begin early next week. You may notice some site activities beginning this week, including removal of some of the existing equipment on the existing building. And over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see removal of the existing building, foundation and utility work, and preparation for delivery and placement of the new unit. Factory build time is estimated at 28 days. So that gives you an idea of about when that will be showing up. On Station 72, we've been working out there for a little bit, and you haven't seen a whole lot happen. There have been some issues with the site design, mostly relating to some underground electrical lines that were located in an area that was not anticipated. This has led to some revisions to the plan that's submitted to NV Energy to either relocate or abandon those existing lines so we can proceed with the foundation work. We did manage to uncover the subgrade, and soils testing is currently underway. Along the east edge of that building envelope, there were some soils discovered that are very high in organics. So there's some testing going on to see if any subsurface remediation is going to be required. We should know that by early next week. June 13th, I have the architect and engineer on site at the VC Freight Depot to complete their preservation report, which will provide a roadmap for the preservation and continued use of that building. And lastly, we met with FEMA last Tuesday, and I'll be working with Director Bullion and Director Wiersbicki in support of the FEMA application related to this winter's storm damage countywide. And with that, I'll take any questions, sirs.
Thank you for that report, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Mike?
No, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thanks for the update.
All right. Appreciate all the efforts out there, Mike, especially at Station 72. Moving right along to communications, Becky Parsons.
James Dean, Story County IT Director, speaking on behalf of Becky Parsons. She's on vacation. She just wanted me to note that she has completed testing for one applicant, and she should be starting interviews soon. And that's the only update she has. Thank you.
Appreciate it, James. I'm going to skip questions since Becky's not here. Moving on to Business Development Director, Laura Mather.
Good morning, Laura Mather for the record. I'm now able to dedicate more of my time and in my capacity of board member for Nevada Works, including their strategic planning for the organization. I'm also on this year's EDON Existing Industry Awards Judges Committee. This is an annual business award given out by EDON under 16 categories for various types of businesses. These types of activities that I do, they allow me to continue to grow my education on our businesses that are within our county and the resources that we have and how I can tie the resources and the businesses and bring those two together so that we have great opportunities for success of businesses within our community. I wanted to add to the sheriff's report on his Sheriff's Department car seat safety event. I also wanted to thank the Walmart Distribution Center and the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. They donated 100 hot dogs and a case each of mustard and relish. So that was a huge help and something that the Sheriff's Department didn't have to upfront the cost on. The Walmart Distribution Center is just a great partner for Story County. They always step up to the plate whenever I reach out to them to donate for any of our events or our organizations. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you, Laura. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments for Laura?
No, thank you, Laura.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you again. Have a great day. Moving right along to Community Relations, Honey Menifee.
Good morning, Community Relations, Honey Menifee for the record. Regarding the Lockwood Community Project Grant, the project that they had been approved for kind of was delayed a bit because of the weather. It was a really obviously long, drawn out season. And so they are just now getting the process where they have purchased the herbicides in order to do the noxious weed remediation along that section of the Truckee River that affects Lockwood and Rainbow Bend and all of that. So they'll begin that weeding shortly, and then in the fall, they'll begin the reseeding process. And they did go through all the proper permitting and land with the state, so to be able to do this properly and not, you know, disturb anything they shouldn't. So that is moving along. The Virginia City Community Project Grant, the Julia C. Bullett chapter of E. Clampusbitis, they place two historical plaques. So one is the Nevada Brewery plaque, and it is at 355 Mill Street. And the big Bonanza plaque is on the south side of the Silverland Hotel as you like face the Sugarloaf. So just remembering, if you want to visit these plaques and read the historical content, be mindful because this is private property. They're obviously not far into the private property, so it's kind of on the street for the one and out in the park grass area for the Silverland Hotel. But just be respectful of the property, the owners of the properties. So with the courthouse electrical renovation grant, we finally closed that project out. That is complete. So I submitted the closeout for the grant with the State Historic Preservation Office on Friday. The estimated cost of this project was $99,139, and this amount was awarded to Story County through the Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation Grant that is facilitated by the State Historic Preservation Office. So the actual project total came to $103,029.12. And this was a difference of $3,890.12. And this increase in project costs was due to some old knob and tube wiring that was discovered during the renovation process. And this outdated wiring was not known during the initial scope of work estimate. So it was removed and replaced with up to code wiring. And so the electrical for the courthouse is should be good for now. So the Lockwood Senior Center project is nearly 100% completion in its conceptual design phase. So currently, Loomis and Associates is working on the environmental reporting that is required by HUD to complete our application process. Upon review and approval of the environmental report, we will be given the go-ahead to proceed with construction. So things are moving along. I know not as quickly as one would hope, but things are actively progressing. And regarding the Fairgrounds and Fire Station 71 projects, I have two agenda items later, and I'll be addressing where we are at for both of those. And then just I continue to meet with the county nonprofits and community groups. I've had a couple people reach out to me, and we've had some meetings to discuss, you know, their availability to be able to apply for the nonprofit program support funding and community project grant funding. So I'm happy that word is getting out and that people are actively seeking ways to, you know, better utilize and help the residents and the community as a whole. So that is the end of my report.
Thank you for that report, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Honey?
No questions. Thank you very much, Honey.
Sherman?
No, thank you.
All right. Again, appreciate the report. We're going to continue on with staff reports with one note that we do have a public hearing at 10:30, so we're going to have to take a break from that. Up next, Emergency Manager Mike Bullion.
Mike Bullion, Emergency Manager for the record. Commissioners, our big project right now is working with Public Works and FEMA on recovering funds from points of failure on the county for the storm period. We've identified $1,024,500 worth of damage, which would come to $768,375 of reimbursement, and that's 75%, which is the max FEMA will reimburse us. There are no guarantees. We're working with them. FEMA's been very cooperative. As Mike said, we have a meeting on Thursday to continue on with that process. So hopefully things will go quickly. The second project that's almost done is the emergency operations plan, the master plan. It's been done. It's gone through one review. I'll fix that, and then it'll go out to the department heads for a final review. And at that point, it should be able to go to State Department of Emergency Management as required. That is the end of the report. Any questions?
Appreciate that, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments from Mike?
I do not. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Vice Chairman?
Nor do I. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the report, Mike. Up next, we have the VCTC, Todd Tuttle. No pressure, Todd. 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good morning, Todd Tuttle, Tourism Director. For the record, just to follow through with the chili cook-off on May 20 through the 21st, we were a little disappointed to see lower numbers than we've seen in the past, about 20%, 30% down than where we were before. We had a great turnout for the Celebration of Heroes Parade associated with Memorial Day and recognized the addition of the Reno Rodeo to join the parade. We expect to see more of them and their involvement with Virginia City in the future. RTO, the Reno Tahoe Odyssey, came through on June 3rd, and a strong turnout there. A lot of the participants end their race at that location and continued to stay in town throughout the day. At the same time, Street Vibrations continued on June 3rd and 4th. A perfect event ran through without much of an incident at all, and some good attendance as a result of it. We have coming up the Sweets and Treats Keeper from Finders Keepers, which will be held on June 10th. We're pretty excited about that event coming up. And of course, the 4th of July parade, don't forget the concert and fireworks, big media campaign going on with that. And Hot August Nights will be held here in the county July 28th and 29th. So we're excited for that event to come through. That's my quick report.
Well done, Todd. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Todd?
No questions. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I just want to say I think it's fantastic that we're so ahead of the curve that we do Hot August Nights in July. That's
fantastic. Wonderful. I don't have any questions for you, Todd. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. I know this hopefully will be quick, too. The Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain, you're up next. All right. Thank you.
The quickest
so far. Moving right along to the planning department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to give you an update on the Green Links West, which is a transmission facility that BLM has done a draft environmental impact statement. That is open for public comment right now. There is a link on the planning department website, so you can access that document. The comments are open until August 23rd, and staff will have some comments for that. But we're encouraging the public to also look at that. It's a proposed transmission line that goes pretty much through the center of our county. So we've identified some concerns and have been working with NV Energy on some of that. So. And we're also working with the BLM to come up and have a short presentation to the board and to the public on that project. So the second thing you may have noticed is the flag is back on the flagpole. The company that had been doing that had been working on that and had repainted it in the fall, and then all the snow hit and we couldn't get out there. So they've recently just replaced all the rigging on there. And Jeff Holman with our Public Works Department deserves a big thanks for working with them and getting that back and up working again. And then the last thing I have is we're starting up our master plan workshops. Our first one is going to be June 29th in Lockwood. And just talking to the community about what our master plan says today and what kind of updates they may like to see. And so that'll kind of be our kickoff to starting to talk about that topic. So that's all I have.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Kathy?
No, thank you very much, Kathy.
Mr. Sherman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate all your work with that, Kathy. I'm going to try to get through two more staff reports. Up next, we have our recorder, Drew McPherson. All right. How about our IT department, James Dean?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just to let you and the public know, we're going to have some phone upgrades in the courthouse June 12th between 11 and 1 p.m. There will be some minor interruptions of service, but it'll be part department by department. It won't be the whole courthouse at the same time. So just a quick note on that. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for James?
Do not. Thank you, James.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. We are going to try community development. Pete Renaud.
Good morning, Commissioners. Pete Renaud for the record. Just want to kind of commend Ashley Mead, not my office. She got all the business licenses mailed out in 2 days. Kind of a week and a half process in the past. Another note, we did a sample run up the boardwalk, handing out flyers, doing the inspections, just to see what the reaction was. And we've had some positive input. Some boards are getting replaced. People are taking care of it. We've had a few other phone calls, but we're going to start hitting those again regularly. We're going to be more scrutinizing and looking at them, but we need to get the boardwalk fixed.
Yeah.
That's my report.
Wonderful, Pete. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Pete?
No questions, Pete. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell? All right. Appreciate your staff and your team getting that knocked out. Thank you. All right. I don't know that we can squeeze one more report in. So we are pretty much right at 10:30 for the public hearing. So the rest of the staff, just hang tight. I'm going to take just a moment here. So we are at 10:30 on the button. All right, we are going to move to item number 11 at this time, which is the public hearing on proposed resolution 23-681 and 23-682 as described. Resolution 23-681 proposes the identification of unnamed Story County roads in the Gold Hill, Mark Twain, and Virginia City area. Resolution 23-682 also covers roads in those areas, Gold Hill, Mark Twain, and Virginia City. So with that, the public hearing is now open. Is there any public comment regarding these adoption of these roads? Please come to the podium, state your name.
My name's Tom Zachary.
Morning, Tom.
How you guys doing?
Good.
On the second road, the 951030,
mm-hmm.
That's the road that goes to my house. I use that road every day, and I'm the guy that has to keep the rocks up. I mean, it is a public road. There's no doubt about it. We've done that up to the point where you see my signs. And but I have a little issue with he said that the width was 8 feet, and it's got to be at least the 14 that's on the other road, the disturbed area. The actual passable part right now might be about 8 feet because of the weather we've had and things, but that's about to get fixed. So I would like it if you could extend that width to the 14 feet that the other road up on top of by the gates is like 25 feet. And it's just the section from Sutro Springs Road up that I'm concerned about.
Okay. I appreciate it.
And there's one more comment. It's not this road, but it's Sutro Springs Road where it intersects this road. Somehow Jerry left that the part where Sutro Springs Road goes on across. And it's another few yards till the edge of section 16.
Okay.
And that, you know, that's yeah, I guess if we're going to talk about Sutro Springs Road at some point, then I can discuss it then.
Sutro Springs Road is on private property for the most part now. We're only addressing the BLM land.
Yeah, but this is on BLM where Sutro Springs Road crosses this road. Okay. This one goes up and down, and Sutro Springs goes on across to the edge of Section 16, which is still BLM land.
Please. So, Kathy, I assume we're going to get there sooner or later, but it's not for this agenda as I'm understanding it.
Correct. We're only looking at the two pieces that are identified in the agenda today.
Okay. So is there a possibility of getting that road designated as 14 feet like the other road?
All right. Tom, thank you for that comment. It looks like we're going to go ahead and continue this item then. Does that work for you, Keith? Is that the better option?
We can do that, yes.
Okay.
I mean, we have take a look at the road.
Yeah, send somebody out to take measure.
Okay.
I mean, the actual one track that goes through one section of it right now is probably about 9, maybe 10 feet wide. But then the area that has been disturbed is quite a bit wider than that. And that's necessary to maintain it.
Austin Osborne, for the record. This is just a public hearing. So at this point, would you be fine then working with Kathy and her folks on taking a look at those maps a little closer and working with our consultant that put this together and maybe take a look at your questions? And that's really the point of this public hearing is for this to happen, for you to come forth before action's taken and be able to address any issues. I think, Kathy, would you be fine with that?
Yeah, okay. Just take a couple of minutes to point it out.
Great. Thanks. And then we can bring this item to a future meeting. And then when you're ready, we can make our consideration with the board.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. Comments. Thank you.
All right. Since you're front and center, I want to wish you an early happy birthday. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, going to Ichiban Friday. Have a great birthday. Enjoy it. Thank you. All right. So, 1 second.
I think getting another. And then on the next agenda item is respond 682 and 682.
I'm going to continue the public hearing for resolution number 23681. So we're going to continue the public hearing for resolution number 23681. Is there any other public comment?
Well, before we continue, I think we got 2682 on this one too. Where's it?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Is there a downside for us continuing the public hearing for both, concluding that, and then we'll just, when it comes to the resolutions.
Right, correct.
So we'll continue to receive any public comment on both of them.
Right.
So the public hearing has been done.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then for item number 12, we'll just make a postpone 682.
Yep.
And then make a motion for 681.
And Director Canfield's indicating that sounds good to her as well.
Wonderful. All right, so I will take again public comment for resolution number 23-681 and -682. Is there any other public comment? Not hearing any. I'm going to close this public hearing. We are.
It looks like there's a recommendation for a motion to do that.
I think what we do is a motion to continue to the next meeting.
Okay. For 682.
Yes.
So we're not going to handle that on item number 12.
It's number 12. Those are the two action items, the actual resolutions. It was just public hearing.
Right. This is public hearing. Well, we got to do the public hearing before the resolutions, and we're going to get some more information, we think, on 681.
682. 681 is good to go.
Okay. We can close the public hearing on 681 and continue the public hearing on 682.
No motion required.
It would be more comfortable also doing the same thing to 681 and 682 because there is some overlap in this area.
Okay.
Just to be safe.
Okay.
Yeah, staff would recommend just continuing this item, the public hearing, so that we can look at those widths because they're advertised in the paper as the certain width. And okay. If it is something that's larger, it would be different than what we were looking at here. So let us go back because these two roads are really close together. They're right. We might want to change something as we've looked at what Mr. Zari has in talking to our researcher. So if we can continue the public hearing, then also the two items that go with
Public hearing. Okay. Are you clear on a motion?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Do we need to continue the date specific?
Yes, I would suggest, and I would ask County Manager Austin Osberg for the record. So what we're going to do is we're just going to continue the public hearing to the date, to the next June meeting. I'm going to check just to make sure. I think it's June 20th. To that date, I'll get a confirmation. And then we approach number 12 and number 13 individually and take action individually on the ones on those to continue them to the next date. That way everything's nice and clean.
Okay.
All
right. June 20th is our next meeting. Is that enough time to make the notice? No. So we got to go to July.
We'll go July.
It's not July 4th.
Right. We meant, yeah.
Of course, everybody has to be here for this. Right? We normally run very smooth.
It does.
So it'll be August.
No problem.
Jim, just have the chat comment. I don't know if it's German. Chat.
Okay. Do you want to have August just really watch them?
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me, I have a comment. This is Lindy.
Yeah, go ahead, Lindy.
So Tom, Zachary, and I are looking at the legal descriptions right now and trying to confirm what he's looking at and his concerns. Can we just postpone this till later in the meeting?
We certainly could, but if it changes, then it's something we would have to continue to a future meeting.
Recommendation with Director Canfield's concurrence would be, I don't want to rush this, don't want to make mistakes. There's no hurry on this. The road has been in this condition as it is. That we move this to the August 1st meeting. That appears to give Ms. Canfield plenty of time to go through postings, take time with Mr. Zachary, if they have to go out, make some more measurements, work with a consultant, whatever may come up. There's no hurry on this. Why, rush it? So why don't we just go ahead and go for August 1? And then we'll revisit it. And then the adjustments that were made during this time, we can give Ms. Canfield plenty of time to post and get everything ready.
So are you clear?
Yep.
Everything? All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
August 1st is a Tuesday.
All right. Let's see if we have this right. So is there any other public comment? Not seeing any. Can I get a motion to continue this item?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to continue the public hearing on proposed resolutions 23-681 and 23-682 to be reopened on our August 1st, 2023 meeting at 10:30.
I think that's a good addition.
Okay.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. We'll just deal with 12 and 13 right now. So on to item number 12, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible adoption of resolution 23-681. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to continue this item to our August 1st, 2023 meeting.
Here at the courthouse.
Here at the courthouse.
I'll second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 13, this is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible adoption of resolution number 23-682. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, there to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to continue the consideration of resolution 23-682 to our August 1st, 2023 meeting here at the courthouse.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everybody, for that. That was fantastic.
Chairman, I just want to remind you, you are still acting as the Board of Highway Commissioners at this time. So however you take your next agenda item, just take note of that. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to reconvene as the Board of County Commissioners, right?
Yes.
Okay. Bringing us back to staff reports. So we now have the Senior Center, Stacey York.
Good morning, Stacey York for the record. We have hired our new site manager in Virginia City. She's on our third week. Last month was Older Americans Month. We had technology trainings throughout the month, thanks to Dustin Kearney from Community Chest. They were well received, and we will be returning those in July, starting July 6th. So every Thursday, July technology training. It happens right after lunch, 12:45-ish. And recently, I was appointed to the State of Nevada Commission on Aging. I'm really excited to join that, be a voice for rural Nevada seniors. And that is it.
Thank you for your report, Stacey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Stacey?
I do not. Thank you, Stacey.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Again, thank you. Moving right along to Community Chest. I believe I saw Eric Schoen with us today.
Good morning, everybody. For the record, Eric Schoen with Community Chest. As you all know, this is the transition time between school year and summertime. Last week, I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the CalBus graduation. That's our mobile preschool pre-K readiness program. We combined all of the CalBus stops into one graduation down in the Mark Twain Park. It was a beautiful morning, the kind of morning that just makes you thrilled that you live in Nevada. Soft breeze, great sunshine, and perfect shade from the trees. We had a full park. We had nearly 30 kiddos and their parents and so forth. We had watermelon slices and all the snacks. But it's really delightful to see the impact of these kinds of programs on the families coming together, as well as the kids being kindergarten ready. And next time this happens, we'll try to do a better job of letting the entire community know, because I think this is one of those well-kept secrets that if everybody had a chance to see, it's just very heartwarming. So along with that, our summer programming is in full swing at our community center. We have over 60 kids a day. It's our highest daily enrollment ever. So you'll see them at the park. You'll see them at the pool, and the pool gets fixed. I can't wait for that to open. And I want to say thank you, by the way, to the public for slowing down at both of our buildings, because we have youth programs above both our pink house over here on the south side of town, as well as the community center. And it's really appreciated when people slow down around both of those programs. I also wanted to thank Public Works for getting onto that sinkhole so quickly in the baseball field. We were a little worried that it might migrate and travel to the community center. Thank goodness that didn't happen. So thank you so much, Mike and your crew. Thank you to the Sheriff's Office and the Senior Center for this the success of our technology series. We've done a couple so far, cybersecurity, basically sort of tech support as well. It's being led by one of our community health workers, Dustin, but it's also being really strongly supported by both of those entities that I just mentioned. One of the biggest turnouts we've ever had for any of these, around 20 folks or so who are coming to learn more about how to keep their phones safe, their computers safe. I don't know if we're continuing with those or not. Yeah, we are. So if folks are interested in that, they should keep an eye out for that. And then lastly, also thank you to all the folks who, we filled every slot, 30 folks who attended our ASSIST training, which is an evidence-based program for helping to increase community resilience and adaptability for responding to and supporting fellow community members who may be feeling suicidal. It's a 2 or 3 hour training, if memory serves, but the folks end up with skills. So if somebody indicates they're feeling suicidal or feeling despondent, they feel confident to be able to engage and connect that person to the appropriate resources. So really happy to see that as well. So that's the end of my report. Any questions?
Thank you, Eric. Sure. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Eric?
No questions. Thank you for the report, Eric.
Ms. Sherman Mitchell?
Good. Thank you very much, Eric.
All right. Keep on doing the good work, Eric. Okay. Thank you. All right. Up next, the judge is usually in court today, and today we are graced with her presence. Judge, if you have any updates for us, great to see you. Well, it's good to be seen.
Good morning, Judge Eileen Harrington, for the record. Good morning, commissioners, morning. Mr. Austin, Mr. Loomis. I'm usually not here because I'm usually in court. So otherwise, I'd just love to be here. And just bringing you up to date, the last time I think I was here, we were talking about civil infractions and how they were moving into Nevada. We're dealing with them. Our office is working closely with the State Trial Services Office and working out all the very, very big bugs in the system. But my clerks, which were part of the First Judicial, so my clerks are part of a program through the First Judicial where you can call a clerk and they can actually work with you on your civil infraction. And that includes reducing demerits or something else about the infraction. It's very limited, but they're allowed to do that now. We're seeing great success with that. And I do want to give a shout out to my office manager, Tammy Megan. She has been phenomenal in working through this new system. This new system in Nevada, we're calling it a MVP system. That doesn't mean most valuable player. It means minimally viable product. And we're working through it, and we're going to make it better. So also, I wanted to thank Becky Parsons from Dispatch and Sheriff Cullen. We've been working in the past few months in increasing the quality of our pretrial services. It's very complicated, but we're working on that. Thank you, Sheriff Cullen and Ms. Parsons. And also, I will not be here for the next meeting, and apparently, that's when our lobbyist, Ms. Walker, is going to be here. So I do want to say at this time, and I'll probably have comments that I'll forward. I'm going to be at a judge's conference. I'm not on vacation. I'll be at a judge's conference. But Mary Walker, our lobbyist, has been very, very helpful to our office with all the new bills going through. She has great communication. I've been very, very happy with her. I don't know what I'd do without her. So that's all I have to say. And normally I'd be in court, but well, I am in court, but not my court. Any questions?
Not with the robe today. That's fine.
Yeah. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Judge. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the judge?
No questions. Just welcome and nice to visit with you today. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Three, Vice Chairman?
Good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Judge. All right. How about the District Attorney's Office? Deputy DA Loomis?
Anything? Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Last, County Manager's Office.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. Most of what we're going to propose at the next meeting that our lobbyists come give a comprehensive review of what happens in the legislature, and that'll be course after the governor takes his action, as well as any potential special sessions. There are a couple bills that this board has given direction on to staff that have been of particular interest to the county. I'd like to just give you a very brief update of where they are. Okay. First of all of these are subject to governor's actions with veto or approval as well. Senate Bill 432, as far as the bill to sweep Tesla Gigafactory funds that died and remain dead, it's done. SB 81, this one, we're hoping that the governor will take some action on this that will be in our favor. At this point, it did make it out of both houses, and that is the bill of regional collaboration. AB 63, the I-80 safety corridor bill, that bill died and was never resurrected. AB 143, this is a bill that allows Story County to take land that the federal government gave to it, declare title in Virginia City and Gold Hill, and get it transferred over to homeowners and businesses here in town, and to get a parcel over to the school district. That survived and was signed and approved by the governor. We've already begun conversations and worked with the school district and Todd Hess to get that land transferred over so they can start working on school expansions and safety improvements down at the Virginia City High School. The next thing, off-highway vehicle bills. It's our understanding that the bills allowing more local control have made it out and are still subject to governor's action. Senate Bill 433, there was a prevailing wage bill that dealt with taking prevailing wage from $100,000 projects to every project. That bill, as our understanding, was vetoed and is no longer applicable. There is a Senate Bill 391 regarding sirens of buildings. Depending on the history of the siren, ours has a deep history in firefighters work and musters and that sort of thing. That will allow counties like us to continue to ring the siren as we do, and that will be subject to governor's action. Senate Bill 20, Board of County Commissioners appointing vacancies, that was vetoed. So any type of a vacancy would still go to the governor. As far as some of these things go, I want to just remind us that as far as regional coordination under some of these bills that we're talking about, our white paper expansions are still going on. We're working on a housing needs analysis with the RCG group that will really do a comprehensive discussion of housing needs in Story County, transportation, and other elements. And we are participating in RTCs and other types of groups in the region on issues all the time. The fire district is involved, the sheriff's office is involved in all kinds of regional collaboration, interlocal agreements, mandatory aid agreements, whatever they are. We will continue to do those things and express such to our area leaders, regardless of legislation that we've talked about over the last 6 months. That's all I have. Assessor Janice Seddon has an item she asked me to read, if you would like, Mr. Chair.
Please.
All right. She just wants to remind the public to fill out your 3% tax cap form for your residents, so you're subject to the 3% tax cap. That's very important. If that form isn't turned in, then the tax cap will go away. She's working real hard to reach out to people individually that haven't turned them in or didn't turn them in correctly. We'll put that in the e-blast and get it otherwise up to social so people remember to do that and keep their taxes low on their residents.
And did you mention the cutoff date?
The cutoff date, I'll check again with her. It is in June, but I don't know the exact date. I'll get right back with you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
I do not. Thank you, Austin.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you for that update. Before we get to our trustee clerk, I believe I see the director of St. Mary's Arts Center back there. Do you have an update for us today?
Good morning.
Morning.
I just want to take a couple moments of your time and recognize the Story County Fire Department and Captain Sinclair, St. Clair. He and his crew did an amazing job coming to the Art Center 2 weekends ago, I believe it was, to address a lightning strike near the building. And County Manager Osmond Bourne was there to help support us also. It was intriguing. We had a writer's retreat checking in that night. And the writer who organized the event actually was there, and she thanked us for the future fodder for her current or upcoming novels. It's never without excitement when she comes. Last time, they all had to dig their trucks and cars out from the snow. So we wanted to thank the fire department for the speedy response. Highland Electric also came out very quickly. Between the two of them, they cleared the building, made sure it was safe, and the retreat was able to go on. So I wanted to recognize that. And then also let everyone know that our 4th of July, an intimate arts and fireworks spectacular event, is now live on Eventbrite, and that is one of our signature events. We hope that the community will take advantage of it as well. It's a lovely event. It is ticketed, but it's spectacular views, catered, and live music by Kevin Keith. And that's all that I have.
Wonderful. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments for Erica while she's here?
I do not. Erica, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Thanks.
All right. Our trusted clerk treasurer?
Wait till later.
Fair enough. If there is anybody I missed that would like to make a staff report, come on up. Or come on down, whatever suits your fancy.
Good morning, commissioners. Now, Stephanie for the historic Portford School Museum. A couple of things that I would like to update. Our summer season has started. The museum is open daily from 10 to 5 p.m. We had a great start, even really good start with school tours as well. So we probably had around 1,000 students coming to visit the museum. A couple of things about programming. Our Friday, June 9th, we're having our swing dancing event, which is a live band and a lesson of swing dancing. And that would be open hour. I guess the doors would open at 6:30. And it is a ticketed event of $10, I believe. And coming the next following week on Saturday, June 17th, we're having our third annual Kids Fair, which is free for all children, but it's our $7 admissions for the parents or adults who could come. This is a collaborative event with the nonprofits of Virginia City and other nonprofits from the North Nevada, such as the Nevada Division of Minerals will participate, and the Robotics Fire 5480. So we would like to see all of you who have young children to participate in that event. Furthermore, we're having our, I think I've mentioned that before, it's our oral history series. It's a video production series that we do in the Fourth Ward. This series is to save and safeguard the history of Virginia City from the 1930s and on. So we invite families who have generation in Virginia City or history in Virginia City who have invested through all the years that would like to come and share their story and have that safeguarded in a video and just for any reference and research for the next coming century, I guess. So, and that's, you know, on our programming. And finally, our building renovation, the south side is done. We just have to, we're in the process of scheduling the scaffolding to take down the scaffolding. And hopefully by the mid of June, you will see the museum in its full glory without the scaffolding. And that's it, pretty much.
Do you have any questions? Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Nora?
No, Nora. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Mr. Sherman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you again for that update.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that I may have missed? Come on up.
Good morning. Lisa Taylor for the record with University of Nevada, Reno Extension. I'd like to thank so many people in our community for helping us provide our programs in a variety of different places. Currently, I'm teaching a Stay Strong, Stay Healthy program in Lockwood. And of course, without the support of our senior programs, that wouldn't be possible. We right now have 12 individuals that are out there working with us on a twice weekly basis. Also, we have a program where we are working with the Hillside Elementary School, and that's called Produce Pick of the Month. And the individual is a bilingual individual who works with us, Selena Barajas Madrigal. And so she is there every month, and we're planning on doing that again this coming year. We've understood that there might be a new principal that we might be working with at that time, so we're going to be working with that person soon. Also, we have a new 4-H person that's going to be working with not only our schools, but certainly other groups to provide some ongoing education. And certainly with a community chest, we hope that there's a lot of opportunities here in our community. And then, of course, there's also a survey that we want to provide to our seniors so that they can help us understand better how to provide programs and activities that would best meet those needs. We also have a program called the Master Gardener Program, and we certainly are recruiting individuals that would like to learn more about horticulture. And those individuals, we have one of which is in the Highlands, which we'll be working with, hopefully, a variety of different groups to improve horticulture education in our community. So that as we look towards the future, we think that's a bright one for us. And whether it's looking at the Fourth Ward and some of the things that might be going on soon, we think there's also big opportunities.
Wonderful. Thank you for your update.
Thank you.
Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Lisa?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for all your work. All right. I believe that concludes staff updates for today. We are going to get back to our regularly scheduled agenda. We are going to recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board, bringing us item number 14, which is discussion only. Report of Public Works Department regarding roads and highways in Story County. Looks like Mike Northern's got this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northern, Operations Projects Coordinator, in for Director Weersbicki. He has two items to update the board. NV Energy Gas Division has started cutting and potholing Electric Avenue for the Stericycle gas main. Once they are clear of electric, the intersection of Electric and Milan, we can proceed with our full rebuild of Electric Avenue project. Next item is the next commission meeting. We will be seeking approval for Loomis and Associates to provide a scope of design and for a permanent fix on Taylor Street. Those are the two items I have, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Mike about that report?
No, thank you, Mike.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments for Mike?
No, I believe it's Secretary Mitchell for the Highway Board, and no, I'm good to go. Thank you.
Well received. Thank you, Secretary. Appreciate the report, Mike. I realize that I have missed board comment, so we're going to jump back to item number 9. Start off with my far right, Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any questions or comments today?
No questions for today, but thanks for the opportunity.
All right.
Chairman, I think we're still the highway board.
Oh, we bet. So we're going to. You guys are killing me.
We need hats. We really need hats so we can
switch. So we are going to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, then bringing us back to item number 9, which is board comment. So, Lance, I want to ask you again, do you have any questions or comments for us today?
Nothing new to comment on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. You're back to Vice Chairman?
Yeah.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for us?
The only thing I'll mention is, as Nora mentioned, swing dancing going on at the Fourth Ward School this Friday night. My wife and I will be teaching the lesson, which we do it not only because it's a great time. This will be the fourth time we've done that. There's going to be a live band that's playing. It's a lot of fun. But we also do it because it's a way to honor the history, but also to stimulate more activity. Maybe provide a few funds for the museum itself. So if you'd like to join us, drop in lesson. I think Nora said doors open at 6:30, lesson at 7 for about an hour. You don't need a partner or any experience, and it's a good time. So hopefully we'll see you there.
Wonderful. Thank you, Vice Chairman. The only comment that I have today is for those that are familiar with this, unfortunately, it's on a somber note. Virginia City Highlands resident Susan Lawyer passed away last couple days. I would just like to take a moment of silence for Susan and anybody that I may have missed that has left our county. All right, thank you. Now we are still the Board of County Commissioners. On to item number 16, which is discussion for possible action. Presentation by the Nevada Rural Housing Authority, also known as the NRHA, about rural and affordable home purchase programs and discussion and consideration for approval of resolution number 23-691, providing for the transfer of Story County's 2023 private activity bond volume cap to the NRHA for the purpose of providing first-time homebuyer down payment and other affordable housing assistance and other related matters. You have the floor.
Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you for the time today. I really appreciate it. For the record, my name is Katie Coleman. I'm the Director of Communications for Nevada Rural Housing, and I'm here today to briefly add a little more flavor to some of the points of interest outlined in the report provided with our request to transfer your county's unused bond cap. I'm also here to explain why we make that request and what our agency has been doing to help deliver housing opportunities to rural Nevadans. So Nevada Rural Housing's, bless you.
You're sorry, fine.
Nevada Rural Housing's area of operation is defined as communities with a population under 150,000. We're considered a local government and political subdivision exercising public and governmental functions. And we are overseen by a board of commissioners appointed by the Nevada Association of Counties and the Nevada League of Cities. Anyone who didn't know that. And who we are on paper isn't half as important, of course, as what we do in our communities. And that's been happening since 1973. In fact, we're celebrating our 50th birthday, which is really exciting. And it's pretty incredible to see how much the agency has grown in those 50 years, from a public housing agency to a multifaceted housing finance agency, that we really believe housing is an ecosystem where we can and should find opportunities for all rural Nevadans, whether it's helping keep those on the brink of homelessness out of that cycle of poverty, or the families who are really ready to take that step of responsibility and into home ownership. And the last 50 years have really seen some important activities, such as the birth of our home ownership program, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more. That was in 2006. That has delivered over $2 billion in affordable mortgages to rural Nevadans, some of which have happened right here in Story County. I'll provide some metrics on that in a moment. We've been running a homebuyer tax credit program that's resulted in $40 million in tax savings to rural homebuyers. And that's really important to note because that helps them infuse those savings back into their local communities. About 1,200 rural Nevada families are assisted with rent annually through our agency, ensuring that they really stay off of that brink of homelessness and pushing themselves toward that line of self-sufficiency. Specifically, Story County has three residents receiving help with their rent through the Nevada Rural Housing Choice Voucher Program. And about 300 clients annually, most of whom are seniors aging in place, receive repairs to their homes through our weatherization and home repair program. It's a mouthful. And really what that does is help keep their home safe, and it really helps keep their energy bills down. And that program is also available right here in Story County. Also in our history, 729 units of housing have been built or preserved by Nevada Rural Housing, also contributing to that housing ecosystem. And I'd like to make a note that we, including our executive director, Bill Brewer, are having some development discussions with county planning, some local leadership, to provide insights, our insights, and some thoughts on development and building opportunities in this area. And we're really excited to be at that table to help provide our contacts, connections with some right fit partners, our experience in the development space, and explore some possible options. Story County truly is forward-looking in housing. You have to be forward-looking in housing. Housing doesn't happen overnight. We look forward to seeing those housing study results come forward. And so kudos to this team and the leadership in this county for looking ahead. And we can say we're mission-driven all we want, which our agency is, of course, but the talk is in the walk, we believe, which is why this progress report, the metrics, are certainly important to share with our partners like Story County. And partnerships, relationships are the cornerstone of our programs. Story County has been a key contributor to the successes of our program. Nevada Rural Housing's home ownership program from the beginning has been successful with its transfer of unused private activity bond cap, and a total of $2.4 million to date has come from Story County. So thank you for that. Bond cap is a funding mechanism we use to help rural Nevadans benefit from the home buyer tax credit program called the Mortgage Credit Certificate. And bond cap, it's really important to note that bond cap is not money or a line item in a locality's budget, but instead it's an opportunity to issue debt for qualified purposes, or it can be transferred to an entity like ours for a purpose like the tax credit program for home buyers. So we are requesting this body to vote again this year to transfer the unused bond cap to help continue this momentum of Nevada Rural Housing's homeownership programs. Since 2006, our homeownership program has provided 113 Story County homebuyers $24.7 million in affordable mortgages, nearly $720,000 in down payment assistance, and $420,000 in estimated federal tax savings. And in fact, yesterday, a loan was reserved by a Story County home buyer that had down payment assistance attached to it and that tax credit savings product. So we were really excited to see that happen come in just yesterday. And a quick note about that home buyer tax program, it can save the home buyer thousands of dollars over the life of the loan for that 30 years. Plus, it really can mean the difference between getting a home buyer into a home or not, because that tax savings is considered qualifying income. And it's been a game changer for so many homebuyers, and we're really proud of that. We appreciate your continued support of this program. It makes the difference in your constituents' lives, in your neighbors' lives, in your friends' lives, as they make their way from renter to homeowner. And this probably goes without saying, but there's no silver bullet to our solving our housing challenges. It takes partnerships, relationships, smart, right-fit solutions for communities. And our approach really is to be innovative, collaborative, fiscally responsible as we try to do the right thing by our rural Nevadan friends. So I'm happy to answer any questions about the bond cap transfer or anything that I've outlined in my remarks.
Thank you very much for that very full informational report. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. The comment is a wonderful program for our county and been well managed and ongoing for some time. I'm pleased to support it, and thank you for the nice report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Katie. I just wanted to confirm, and I know you said this, but just to make sure, because there's a lot of multiple programs, things going on. The action item that we're considering today is not a transfer of money, but of capacity to issue debt to support these programs, right?
So you're correct.
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that we're totally clear on that. I appreciate your report and happy to support this item.
Again, thank you, Katie, for being here. I don't have any questions for you. Is there any public comment at this time? Maybe for the board or for Katie? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, are you?
Mr. Chair. Yes. I am. I think county manager. Yeah. We'd like to ask, when you do the motion, there is a motion prepared, but that motion referenced the entire resolution number 23691, and then the rest of the motion will be just fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-691, providing for the transfer of Story County's 2023 private activity bond volume cap to the Nevada Rural Housing Authority for the purpose of providing first-time homebuyer down payment and other affordable housing assistance and other related matters.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again for taking the time to come up, Katie, and for what you do. All right, let's move along to item number 17. This is discussion only. This is a presentation by Kristen Brown from the Comstock Preservation and History Officer with the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office. Give an overview of the tax incentives for preserving historic properties throughout the state, Nevada State Historic Preservation Office, and the National Park Service. Laura.
Thank you. Laura Mather for the record. Recently, and I'm sure it's partially due to the record winter that we have had this year, I have several business and building owners on C Street reach out to me asking if there's any possibility or opportunity for grants to restore their building and fix issues within the buildings. Unfortunately, grants for privately owned buildings are really few and far between. So I reached out to Kristen and I was thrilled to hear that there is a tax incentive program. So I would like to introduce Kristen Brown and she's going to give an overview of this program.
Welcome. Thank you, Laura.
Hello, this is Kristen Brown for the record, Comstock Preservation and History Officer here in Virginia City. Thank you, commissioners, for having me here today. And thanks, Laura. Do I need to wait for the technology? Okay. Okay, ready? All right, so I work with the Historic Preservation Office, as Laura mentioned, and this is just sort of a quick overview of some of our, the first slide was some of our program areas that we manage at the SHPO in Carson City at our main office. We do review and compliance reviews such as Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act, as well as the NRS 383-121 reviews that the county has responsibility for. We also deal with unanticipated discoveries, including burials and other artifacts, as well as manage covenants on a number of properties that previously received grant funding. Speaking of grants, our office runs several grant programs, which I'll touch upon later. We also have a site stewardship program for public outreach that's run out of our Las Vegas office. And we have the Certified Local Government Program, of which Story County is a certified local government. Your county's been part of that program for many years. We also run our NevCRIS GIS-based database of cultural resources in the state of Nevada, as well as the National Register Program and the State Register of Historic Places. So that's just sort of a few of the programs that we are responsible for, primarily out of our main office in Carson City. Okay, next slide. So the federal tax credits for historic preservation, this is going to be a fairly high-level overview of the program, just to kind of introduce everyone to the fact that it exists and what the program entails. If anyone does have more questions or wants additional information, don't hesitate to email me or give me a call, and I can send you lots of materials on the program. So the tax credit program, it is a 20% tax credit for what's called the certified rehabilitation of a certified historic structure. And we'll talk about that in a bit of what that means. The tax credit program has been around for decades, and it's a great program. It provides a lot of benefits to a community, including, you know, not the obvious, which is revitalization and restoring buildings within the community, but also jobs, a sense of place, helping to preserve history, some community identity, that type of thing. I found some numbers from a recent impact report, and the program nationwide has leveraged over $122 billion in private investment and has helped complete more than 48,000 historic rehabilitation projects nationwide. It's a program that's administered by the National Park Service in cooperation with the IRS and the state historic preservation offices in each state. So next slide. Okay, so the basics about the program. These rehab credits are only available for properties that are listed in the National Register of Historic Places. That can either be listed as an individual standalone resource or as a contributing resource to a National Register Historic District. And of course, since here we have a large National Register Historic District, any building that is listed in that district that is considered a contributing resource to the district is automatically eligible for this program. If there are some communities elsewhere that do not have a National Register District yet, the program allows for you to nominate a building as step one of this program to get the ball rolling on getting it listed in order to become eligible for the program. The other important part of this program is it is for income producing properties. So it has to either be currently in income producing use and being fixed up to continue that use, or it has to be rehabilitated with the idea that it will be placed into income producing use. And that can include things like rental residential or office space, commercial, anything like that. Then finally, the other main thing about this program is that the rehabilitation project must meet the Secretary of the Interior Standards for Rehabilitation. That's a set of common sense principles outlined by the National Park Service and the Department of the Interior to say, you know, what is the best tactic for rehabilitating a historic building while preserving its important historic character, not reducing its physical integrity, but allowing some flexibility with the idea that it will be brought up into a more modern use and that we understand that there might be some changes that do need to occur to a building in order to place it into a new use. So that's what the rehab standards are all about. All right, next slide. Okay, so qualified expenditures for this program include almost everything that you could possibly think of pertaining to rehabbing a building into use. Eligible costs include things like the structure itself, the roof, the walls, but also things like wiring, HVAC, plumbing, painting, all of those sorts of things. Even soft costs such as architect fees, structural engineer reports, all that sort of thing, developer fees, permitting, those are considered soft costs that are eligible for the program. The only type of things that are not eligible for this tax credit are things like acquisition, leasing fees, site work, and any kind of movable objects like furniture, drapes, that sort of thing. Okay, next slide. So who's eligible to apply for this program? It's the owner or a long-term lessee of a building, as I mentioned, that's listed in the National Register or is well on its way to becoming listed in the National Register. And then it has to be an owner of a depreciable income-producing property, as I mentioned. And then it has to meet the substantial rehabilitation test. It's a formula established by the IRS and the Park Service to make sure that the tax credit will be fruitful and will actually be able to be earned after the building is fixed up. Next slide. So the substantial rehab test is, like I say, a formula. It simply means that project costs must either be greater than $5,000 or they must meet this formula of the building's adjusted basis, which is what is the purchase price of the property? What is the cost of the land, minus the cost of the land? So we're focusing on the value of the building and then the depreciation for income for the fact that it is going to be an income producing use. And then finally, the adjusted basis, the cost of any capital improvements made. So our office, the State Historic Preservation Office, does not get involved with the financial end of this program. The IRS has a liaison to the Historic Tax Credit Program. And so if a property owner approaches our office saying that they would like to take part in this tax credit, the first thing we tell them is make sure your tax professional contacts the IRS liaison first and make sure that you meet this formula and that your project will pencil. And then once you're confident knowing that you are, eligible for this program, then come back to us and we'll set up a meeting, a site visit. We'll talk to your architect and we'll get going on actually working through the paperwork for the program. Okay, next slide. So speaking of the paperwork for the program, what is the process of how to achieve the tax credit? The part one is called the evaluation of significance. The part one certifies that this is indeed listed in the National Register of Historic Places. For a building that's already listed, it's very simple. It's simply a form that my office helps fill out. We submit it to the Park Service and they give the thumbs up and say, yes, it is true. This building is listed. If the building is not yet listed in the National Register, the part one evaluates that building and the Park Service signs off on it, agreeing that it is eligible for the National Register and that when the National Register nomination is completed, that the Park Service agrees that it will indeed become listed. And so that's the part one. The part two is when we work with the architect and the project proponent, building owner, to talk about the scope of work. What is going to happen during the rehabilitation? What changes will be occurring to the building? Let's examine the architectural drawings, the specs, everything about the project. And we compile all that information. And that's the part two, the scope of work, the drawings. The National Park Service reviews all of that and approves those drawings. And once the Park Service approves it, then the actual brick and mortar work can begin. When the brick and mortar work is done, the after photographs, essentially, as well as a short report detailing what happened during the project, becomes the part three. Then the Park Service takes a look at the part three, verifies that, you know, yes, this person did exactly what they said they were going to do. Therefore, they didn't deviate from the agreed upon scope. And the Park Service certifies that part three. And then the building owner is free to claim the tax credit. The tax credit is claimed over a 5-year recapture period. And it is a true tax credit. It is not like not like income tax, where it just, you know, credit simply reduces the amount of money that you might be taxed on. This is a true tax credit in which it's more or less generally dollar for dollar. If you spend a dollar on rehabbing this building, you know, you will then have to pay one less dollar in your taxes over that 5-year recapture period. Next slide. Our office always has some tips for folks that are interested in going for this program. Like I said earlier, definitely talk to your tax professional to make sure that the project will pencil per that formula. After that, the main advice is to contact the State Historic Preservation Office as early as possible. You don't want to spend a lot of money to your architect only to find out that you should have not done that or done something quite a little bit different. So talk to us early. We can come to your building. We can talk about your scope of work. It always helps if you hire architects and contractors that are familiar with the Secretary of the Interior standards and with working with historic buildings. The Park Service is strict about interpreting the Secretary's standards. However, as I mentioned, those standards are designed with some flexibility in mind, with the understanding that these buildings are going to be used in a modern way. They need to be accessible. They need to have technology built into them. They might need a small addition. They might need a new commercial kitchen. A lot of those things are allowed within those standards. Don't start work until we get that part two signed. You don't want to accidentally do something that is maybe not going to be approved. And then something interesting to note is that nationwide, over 60% of these tax credit projects are under $1 million spent, and a great many of them are quite less. It is not unusual to have a quite small project going after the tax credit. Something as simple as a new roof and maybe some minor building repairs, that might be enough to qualify for this tax credit project. And then this tax credit can also be combined with other types of tax credits, even the low-income housing tax credit or the new market tax credit. Okay, next slide. These are just some links to where to look for more information. We have the National Park Service website has a wealth of information, and I'm happy to email you any of these links if anyone would like to reach out later. The IRS also has a lot of guidance on this program. Okay, next slide. I just also wanted to briefly mention on a couple of other funding opportunities that our office administers. One of them is the Historic Preservation Fund subgrant program. This is a federal pass-through grant that is primarily available to certified local government communities. And as I mentioned, Story County is indeed a certified local government. Your county has taken advantage of this grant program in the past. You've received a number of these HPF subgrants over the years. In fact, the new courthouse sidewalk blocks were funded by, it's a matching 60-40 grant, and that grant program helped fund rehabilitating the front walkway out in front of the courthouse. We also have the Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation, which is a state commission. This is a bond-funded grant. It is every 2 years grant cycle. The State Historic Preservation Office functions as staff to that commission, and we help grant out money to rehabilitate historic buildings for use as cultural centers. And the county also has a number of properties within the county that have received this grant as well, including the building that we are standing in now. Okay, next slide. Okay, final bit of information. These are ideas for other sort of historic preservation incentives. They are not administered by the State Historic Preservation Office, so I'm not really the one to help you with these. But these are all just ideas for the types of incentive programs that other counties and other cities across the country do use and employ from time to time. There are things out there like tax freezes for rehabilitated buildings, tax exemptions or abatements. There are revolving loan programs, either no interest or low interest revolving loan programs that are specifically tailored for maybe facades or building repairs, emergencies, you name it. There are small grant programs out there for that type of thing, matching grant programs. Some communities offer to waive certain fees for folks that are trying to rehabilitate or repair a historic building. some communities even do kind of a, I guess you would call it a barter program, where, for example, if a building owner is willing to rehabilitate a building up to a certain threshold, then the city or county in turn would agree to provide some benefit to that building owner, such as new sidewalks or street furniture outside of their business. Many states have statewide historic tax credit programs. Unfortunately, Nevada does not yet have one, but many states do, and those can be married to the federal tax credits for even more tax credit savings. And then there's also, as I mentioned, something called the New Market Tax Credit, which helps blend the historic rehabilitation tax credit specifically for low-income communities. So these are just some ideas. I can put you in touch with maybe some other communities that do this sort of thing, or we can, you know, do more research at a later date to find out if any of these might be applicable to your Story County. And then that's it. Last slide is my contact information. So please don't hesitate, like I said, to shoot me an email or call me if you have any questions about any of this stuff. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Kristen.
You're welcome. That's
a very informative report. Before I let you go, I'm going to ask if Commissioner Gilman has any questions or comments for you.
No questions or comments. Thank you for that very comprehensive report. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Indeed. Mr. Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, no questions, but thank you. That was really insightful, especially those ideas at the end. That's something for us to consider.
Wonderful. Great. Thank you again for taking the time to be up here. All right. Anything else? You're up next. Okay. Moving on to item number 18, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for the county manager to sign contract agreement addenda between Story County and the Porter Group. This contract is for 2-year period beginning July 1st, 2023, for the annual amount of $120,000. Laura Mather.
Thank you, Laura Mather, for the record. So as you know, each commissioner's meeting, when I come up and do my staff report, I frequently mention the Porter Group when I'm talking about anything at the federal level, whether it's the grant funding that we receive or other issues that we're dealing with. But I just want to reiterate how incredibly important and instrumental the Porter Group is for Story County, particularly with our federal appropriations funding. So it's because of them that we are currently working on 3 major projects that total $6.8 million in federal grant funding. They were absolutely instrumental in guiding us through that process. You know, what we need to report, who the best agency was to go through, those kind of things, absolutely instrumental. In addition, they're currently helping us with the submittal of projects that total $19 million that we're hoping to receive for the 2024 federal appropriations grants. They arrange for us to meet with congressional members and their staff so that these members understand who Story County is, why we're important, and why these funds are so important to our community. They are also helping us with our federal lands bill, with our McCarran zip code issue. That's going to be, again, instrumental in Story County recovering taxes that are in that area, helping us with the lands bill to help our community, to help the school district. We meet with the Porter Group every 2 weeks. They keep us apprised of everything that is going on. Their staff gets to read the several thousand page documents, and then they just send us a summary. So thank goodness we do not have to read through that. You know, again, they just have been an incredible resource for me in my position here in Story County, in their leadership and their guidance, kind of teaching me the ropes of how all of this works. You know, it's because of them that Story County staff is on a first name basis with our congressional members and their staff. So I just cannot articulate enough how important they are for the county and for my position and being successful in what I do. I believe the congressman and Chris Porter are on the Zoom meeting if they want to add anything to that.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Congressman.
Hi. Thank you. This is John Porter. I'm really here to buy some raffle tickets. I did see a great photo. So let me know where to buy the raffle tickets. A great presentation earlier. It's an honor for me to be a part of the family there in Story County, and tell you, certainly miss being home in Nevada, but certainly miss being there. Appreciated your hospitality, and it's been truly an honor to work with your team. And on behalf of the commissioners, if I can pick on Austin a little bit for his leadership, he's done a tremendous job with communicating with us. Of course, Laura and Honey, it's been a really awesome opportunity for us to be able to partner with the both of you, but also we learn from your team, commissioners, every day. So I just want you to know we miss you. We're honored to be a part of it. I want you to know that we are on duty today. You can see in the background, they're calling your name there on Capitol Hill. But very seriously, thank you very much. We're happy to answer any questions that you might have, but know that you're in good hands with Laura and Honey and with Austin at the helm. So thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Congressman. Chris, anything?
No, I just appreciate working with your staff. I think Austin's been amazing. Laura, Honey, been incredible in their partnership with the Porter Group to get those federal funds to the county. We're proud of what we've done. And again, we couldn't do it without your team. Laura, she said amazing things about us, but we echo those sentiments about the team that you have there at Story County. And I commend your efforts in increasing your visibility, not only in the state of Nevada, but also back here in D.C. and letting us steal your staff to come out here and be able to get on first name basis with the congressional staff and also with the members of Congress and senators themselves. So, again, I applaud all your efforts and look forward to another fruitful couple years and fingers crossed on additional federal funding that's up in the air right now. But I think we're in good standing. So, again, thank you so much.
And Chairman, if I may add one more thing, the importance of Laura and Honey being here or of course, any of your staff. But we do think it's important for that hands-on opportunity. And certainly they represent you in a very professional and knowledgeable manner. But it's so important that they be here as schedule and budget permits. Again, with that, thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you very much for both your comments. I guess we don't need a performance review this year for both of them. With that said, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Laura or Congressman or Chris?
Well, my comments would be I've had the honor and the pleasure of an association there with the Porter Group for many, many, many years. And they are absolutely incredible in their position in Washington. Probably my favorite tour of the Capitol was walking in after hours in the back door with the congressman and the respect that he has there in Washington. But having Honey and having Laura, and I share their feelings tremendously. I feel that the Porter Group has been the highlights of my career and my life, and I've had the pleasure of enjoying their association for way, way, way many years. And thank you, John. Thank you all. I appreciate the comment today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I just have bad things to say after that love fest. No, I'm just kidding. I feel we're in good hands with the Porter Group and appreciate all the work that they've done for us. And I'm supportive of continuing to work with them.
Wonderful. Thank you. I think my comments have been made. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item in renewing the contract with the Porter Group? Not seeing any. You have nothing else? Just double checking. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the county manager to sign the contract agreement addendum between Story County and the Porter Group for the period of 2 years, beginning July 1st, 2023, at the annual amount of $120,000.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Looking forward to what money you can bring us next year, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Look forward to it. Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you. All right, moving right along to item number 19, this discussion for possible action. Special use permit 20, 2023-017, the applicants request a special use permit to allow for a second floor deck encroachment into the front yard setback. The proposed deck would encroach approximately 6 feet into the front yard setback, providing an approximate 14-foot setback from the front property line for the second floor deck. Property is located at 150 North Summit Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN001-021-07. Kathy?
Yes, thank you. Kathy Canfield for the record. So this was heard at the Planning Commission on May 18th, and it is a deck addition, a second floor deck addition that encroaches into the front yard setback. Notices were sent out to the adjacent property owners. We did receive one notice of support from an adjacent neighbor, and we actually had two neighbors show up to the Planning Commission in support of the project. The Planning Commission recommended approval unanimously for this, and staff is also recommending approval.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the special use permit?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, it seems reasonable. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this special use permit? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Sure. In accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings under Section 3A of the staff report, and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve a second floor deck encroachment into the front yard setback. The proposed deck would encroach approximately 6 feet into the front yard setback, providing an approximate 14-foot setback from the front property line to the second floor deck. The property is located at 150 North Summit Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number 001-021-07.
Second the motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Would you like me to read the finding?
I'm sorry, Kathy. Yes. It's been one of those days. Please read the finding of facts, Kathy.
Okay, thank you. This approval is to allow for a second floor deck encroachment into the front yard setback. Proposed deck would encroach approximately 6 feet into the front yard setback, providing an approximate 14-foot setback from the front property line for the second floor deck. Property is located at 150 North Summit Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN001-021-07. The proposed project complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, standards of the county master plan, this title, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county. The proposal, location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, neighborhood. The proposed project will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites, or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan, this title, and any other plan, program, map, ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Ophir neighborhood area specific plan in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding is provided in section 2.D of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of the special use permit. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code sections 17.03.150 special use permit, 17.12 general provisions, and section 17.16 R1 residential zones. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Kathy. So there is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 20, this is discussion for possible action. Variance number 2023-018, the applicant requests a variance to allow for a reduced front yard setback to construct an addition to an existing garage. The applicant proposes the new garage be placed approximately 7 feet from the front yard roadway easement of Hanapaw Road. Property is located at 4680 Hanapaw Road in the Highland Ranches, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN 003-401-10. Kathy.
Thank you again. So this is a variance request. In 2018, the board granted a variance to construct the garage that's on this property, and the applicant's requesting to add on to this garage. There's some equipment and things he has out in the elements that he's proposing to put into the garage space. The distance is actually from this side is measured from the roadway easement line, and this site in the Highland subdivision map is a little bit odd in that it comes at a point. It doesn't just follow a 50-foot setback across the property. It has a kind of a funny angle to it. The actual garage addition would be about 24 feet from the edge of the traveled roadway area. We did have a discussion at the Planning Commission on June 1st. They did talk about the setback and the findings that had been found at put the garage there in the first place. The Planning Commissions were supportive of the variance itself. We did have one person comment on the project, and they had concerns about the setback and the roadway use and not having the HOA approval previously before submitting this. That's not unusual to do. This is probably the first step somebody should do before they spend any money on developing plans or anything else to know that they, you know, they can put this where they'd like to. this still will require HOA approval before the building department will issue any construction permits. So the HOA will have their opportunity to comment on the project. So our Planning Commission voted 6-0. We had one person missing and recommending approval of the variance.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Yemin, do you have any questions or comments about this variance?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Thank you.
All right, I would like to note on the record that the one person who had an issue with the variance actually approved the variance back in 2018. So I'm not sure why feelings have changed, but I don't see any issue with this. With that said, is there any public comment today regarding this variance? All right, not seeing any. We'll do motion, then findings, and confirm it. Vice Chairman here to entertain a motion on this variance?
Absolutely. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve variance 2023-018 to allow for a reduced front yard setback to construct an addition to an existing garage. The applicant proposes the new...
Not yet. Almost. Continue.
The applicant proposes the new addition to be placed approximately 7 feet from the front yard roadway easement of Hanapaw Road. The property is located at 4680 Hanapaw Road, Highland Ranches, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN 003-401-10.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Kathy, would you mind reading the findings, please?
Yes. This variance 2023-018, is to allow for a reduced front yard setback to construct an addition to an existing garage. The applicant proposes the new addition to be placed approximately 7 feet from the front yard roadway easement of Hanapaw Road. Property is located at 4680 Hanapaw Road, Highland Ranches, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN 003-401-10. The subject property is located within a state's E10 VR zoning, in which single-family residents aren't allowed use and detached garages are an allowed accessory use. That because of special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including shape, size, topography, or location of surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity or under identical zone classification. That the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the substantial property rights of the applicant. That the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health and safety of persons residing or working in the area of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious
to property or improvements in the area of the subject property. Proposed variance is in compliance with all federal Nevada state and Story County regulations. The proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 17.03.140 variances and 1712 general provisions and 17.40E estate zone when all conditions of approval are met. Proposed variance is in compliance with and supports the goals and objectives and policies of the 2016 Story County Master Plan.
Thank you for that, Kathy. So there is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Before we continue on, we're going to take a quick 10-minute break. We will see you all back here right after the noon buzzer.